will probably come up here with my artificial intelligence here, and we'll continue this discourse here. First off, Ed Hughes always started with his grandchildren. This is Harper. She lives in California, so we don't get to see her very often. She came back for Christmas this year, and she was opening her Christmas gift, and she says, "Beer." Mama had wrapped her gift in a Bud Light box. And she says, "Mama, I don't drink beer, but thank you very much for this present." She's a lot of fun. We're talking about patents and open source. From the patent perspective, the manufacturers has got a long history of things not really working out. If you start with Whitney and then you go to Holmes, neither one of them made anything off of their patents and everything. And in looking, I searched the literature and everything to try and see what the different manufacturers had out there. And I was actually amazed at how few there were. Joe said they had 12 and they was working on 6. Mark, I saw your dryer written up on one there. I actually had thought there were more. But from my perspective, and from I think the other Jenner's perspective, it's best as far as this technology transfer and where we're at in the market when we have competition between the manufacturers. Case in point, we had the 161, the 170, probably the 164 were all patented about the same time there. And we didn't do anything regarding gin stands forever. There are no real patents on the gin stands now. And we're having an arms race on how wide we can make one and how many saws we can cram in there in order to do the best job of ginning the cotton. And the market is deciding on which of these concepts are going to be best, not some artificial artifice that says, okay, you get to sell this one right here because you had the first patent application is what it amounts to. I read a little bit about patents. A well-written patent application is where it's at. If you have a patent, it's like Steve said, you've got to defend the thing. The average cost and some of the software issues there, which if you look at open source, it doesn't say jack about cotton gins. It talks about software. And it's cost $10 million to defend your patent. It's pretty bizarre. You look at, and I was glad you mentioned the individual that had patented the apparatus there to control the cotton gin and everything, because I was going to spend a little bit of time on that today. It's a marvelous idea, but it was licensed to one company, and they did an incredibly poor job of marketing this idea rather than letting the market determine on how this would work out. There was another patent by the same individual with a little help from his cohort that was another tack on the lint cleaner. Great device, some would say. I'm going to show you what they have done for us. Jeff talked about the good old cotton ginner who could look at the sample there and he could set his equipment and this and that. That guy died at 10 bales an hour. The ginner today does not have time to see what's going on there vis-a-vis the sample that's going to come out. He can look at the apron and he say, well, color's pretty good. Everything's ginning all right. It's not taking much power to run everything, so it's pretty dry. But as far as that hitting the lint cleaner and grinding up and going back there and being a 5 or 6 leaf, he's really not got a clue. I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is the classing office 1219 summary. And if you can look over there, it shows for the season that 5 and 6 leaf. I'm sorry. Where's it at? It's just right there. Okay. Over here. You're running 14 and a half 5% of 5 and 6 leaf for the, I'm sorry. Well, it's proven that I can't operate a mouse. 14.5% on 5 and 6 leaf for the season. And then if you look at the Micronair, of course, it's 446. But regardless, look at Missouri. Again, 15.5% for the season regarding the 5 and 6 leaf. You've got a staple for the season of 37-33. Strength 30-28. You know, some pretty impressive numbers. But what struck me about all this was when I looked at the recap for our cotton gin using the Ooster platform there to, in essence, class the cotton and then using those parameters in order to set the process, whether we used a lint cleaner, whether we use our two lint cleaners, whether we used a stick machine, whether we used more heat. Well, if you look down here, our 5 and 6 leaf ran 6% on 31,000 bales. I thought that was pretty good. They were at 357 while ago on leaf, the average leaf for the year. But we were at 347. We were 10% better on leaf as far as putting value to the grower. And when they talked about a 50-point difference, if you get out there to a 37 and a 38 and you're going to a 5 leaf on a 31-3, you're getting close to 500 points. On a 41-4, you're getting 300 and some change. It gets into real money. I have a novel approach to running a cotton gin. I like to make money doing it. We charge for using this equipment. We charge our growers. I never thought anything about it until this year, until I had growers coming up and say, we like what you're doing with our cotton. And they brought me some more. I had another grower come up, and he was raising cane. And I wasn't really impressed with his recap here, because we were running about 33% on him on 5 leaf. Until I went over to the other side to my competitor who had ginned some cotton on for him. And he had 69.7% 5 leaf on the thing. We were really looking good there. For the season, our loan average was 54.23. That's pretty shiny up our way. I don't know if you're in a desert southwest and everything, you're going to have a better color. We could look at this and tell that we didn't need 3 leaf because the cotton was 41, so we ginned for a 4. My ginners, we've set the alarm. If we're sitting there and that yellow light's going off, let's go over there and see what's happened. Let's either kick in another lint cleaner. If we've got the kitchen sink thrown at it, let's turn the heat up and see if it'll release some of the leaf. This is old technology that is nowhere now. We're the only gin in the country that runs the louvers that has Ooster control. That I think there's one other in Alabama. I'm sorry. But this is going away, and it puts money in the grower's pocket. It puts money in the gin's pocket. At $3 a bale, it's not much, but it does pay for the service. Anyway, I understand that patents are necessary in certain instances, and I like how Joe put that on the overriding economic reason for it. But from this end here, the market is what makes this work from our side. That's our economic, overriding economic reason. And I'm going to be 66, my birthday. This is my 280Z. I had one of these when I was 24 years old. It was that exact model. We are going to go to some car shows this summer and take some time off and have some fun. I'll see you later.